I will also say to you, by the way, nonprofits are far from immune from cyber attack. And I do want to say something on this point. I have represented and actually am currently working with some nonprofits who are dealing with cybersecurity incidents. And one thing we hear often and much is, why would they attack us? You know, first of all, we have a charitable mission in the sense that we're not here to make money. We're here to impact an important change for the benefit of people in need. So why would the bad guys come after us? And then, you know, the other is, why would they come after us if we don't have money? I will say to you, the bad guys are agnostic about their targets. First of all, they do think you have money because many of you have cyber liability insurance. And so there is money there for them. Second of all, most of these campaigns do not target nonprofits. Most of these campaigns are shot out into the universe. They capture a whole bunch of for-profit, and maybe they land in a bunch of email inboxes of your nonprofit and foundation of guests. So please know you are certainly not immune from these attacks. I think most of you probably appreciate that. This is just an example from a couple years ago, a food bank in Utah that had a website that was exposed, 10,000 donors' personal information, websites, name, addresses, emails, credit cards. Some of you actually may be dealing with this, unfortunately, as a result of the Blackbaud incident. I serve on a couple of different boards of nonprofits. One of those is dealing with this Blackbaud incident. Many of you may know, probably most of you know, Blackbaud suffered a breach back in, roughly disclosed in May or June of last year. They are a market dominant player that does donor databases for healthcare institutions, educational institutions, foundations around the world, and have had to spend the last year letting companies and foundations and nonprofits know that the data that they managed for those entities had been exposed. And in fact, I was on a call yesterday on a board talking about our own data breach notification and what we were going to do for the individuals impacted. So this is squarely in your wheelhouse and hopefully a risk that you are addressing, and if not, one that you will begin to address in earnest. So let me switch gears for a minute and talk a little bit about the trends that we're seeing. Keep in mind, when I share this with you, I want to be sure that I explain a little bit of how I come by this. My job right now is to help lead essentially incident response projects. I do other projects as well for my clients that include, you know, proactively building resilience against attack. But most of my day is phone calls and email correspondence, helping companies and foundations, nonprofits to deal with these issues. As a result of that, I have, you can think of me as in the trenches in cyber warfare day in and day out. And so what I want to share with you is some of this information comes from certainly articles and lots of people that publish on this, but a lot of it comes from my own personal experience, which is pretty healthy at this point, unfortunately, on behalf of the client. So I want to share that's sort of the basis for where this information is coming from. Let's talk about some trends. The 2020 Verizon DBIR, the Data Breach Investigations Report, lots of good information out here. And I'll just sort of glide through this because I want to get to some more of the meat of this for you. The most common threat actions that we see are certainly phishing and use of stolen credentials. Phishing emails are a constant stream of cyber attack at this point. I don't even know what the numbers are, but the chances is that your employees get a phishing email often and much. Those are coming in. And even for those of you that are using threat detection software that are helping to stop some of the phishing emails, some of them will get through. There, people are just that good. And that is a constant stream of what we do day in and day out, is dealing with incidents that relate from phishing. User error is a fast-growing cause of breaches. You can think of that as essentially maybe an IT person that works for you has configured AWS, Amazon Web Services, is a big cloud provider in this space. A lot of nonprofits use that because it avoids having to have their own infrastructure. When you configure those, if you don't configure them properly, you essentially can leave a door open for people to cruise by and get data. And we've seen a number of AWS, what's called S3 breaches, user error allowing for breach and exposure of data. External threat actors still carry out 70% of breaches. I will tell you, in my experience, it's higher than that. Most of the work that we do day in and out comes from bad guys that are not insiders, that are not your employees or disgruntled employees. They are usually bad guys trying to do bad things from the outside. Security breaches have increased exponentially. It's probably beyond 67% at this point. January of 2019 alone, this is just a staggering figure. 1.76 billion records were exposed. That was a record month for us, unfortunately. This is an important statistic in the sense that it typically takes companies 6 months or more to detect a data breach. I will tell you, I was on the phone yesterday vetting a report with an outside counsel about a particular incident that we had done, not terribly large in scope, but the incident had occurred, the phishing had occurred in April, and they were not made aware of it and remediated until October, which is just, you know, a long time for bad guys to have access to your email or your environment, of course.